Your skin is clammy. There's grit behind your eyeballs. A solitary owl hoots. The world lays creepily silent.
Children of the night.
Then a shadowy figure emerges from the darkness.
The problem is 99% of the planet doesn't know who he is.
Who is that guy?
A rebel. A guardian of everything that's fair in this dog-eat-dog world. One man with an opinion, a studio hotline, and 5 hours to kill.
Let's do this thing.
Out of the ball. Around Australia on the Triple M Network. Triple M! Welcome to the Night Shift. With Luke
I'm just about Melbourne cupped out, okay? I was going to say, Melbourne cupped, how'd you go? Did you back a winner? I don't care, okay? I hope you got a good time for all our Melbourne listeners who were at Flemington today. I hope you behaved. I'm looking at some of the news footage and some of the photos coming through on social media. Some people got a little bit untidy. And Paris Jackson, apparently, well, strange girl. Strange girl. I've got more on that later today. Good morning, folks, and welcome to another Night Shift. I am a shadowy figure emerging from the darkness. My intention is to keep you company, informed. Maybe I'll irritate you a bit. That's a given. Hopefully we'll make you smile as well as Jess and I get you through another early morning. It is Wednesday, November 8, and you're listening to the Night Shift on the Triple M Network. If you are under the weather, do not call us, okay? Just give it a miss. Jess will be breathalyzing you as your calls come through, and it's a pretty sensitive breathalyzer she's got here. If you're just dribbling, please don't bother, okay? I'll give you another radio station's number to call, okay? 133353. Some showers around the country today. I'll give you your weather details a little bit later on. But good to have your company. I hope you are well. 133353 is the phone number. It hasn't changed. Thank you to all those people who got involved on Facebook today, The Night Shift on Triple M. You can tweet us, MMM Night Shift, and the email is nightshift@triplem.com.au. Down to business. Down to business. And Jess, how often do we get calls on this program from traffic controllers? Traffic controllers working overnight, difficult conditions, begging for motorists to be careful while driving through roadworks at night. How many calls from traffic controllers have we had in 12 months? All of them, each and every one of them, worried that someone's going to get killed. Well, it's happened. A traffic worker has been killed on a Sunshine Coast road. The 56-year-old was on traffic control duty on a stretch of the Bruce Highway between Forest Glen and the Sunshine Coast Motorway when he was struck by a car. It was about midnight last night. The 47-year-old driver was found near the crash with terrible head injuries. He's being treated at Sunshine Coast University Hospital. He is also being questioned by police. The forensic crash unit has been there investigating the cause of the crash. But obviously someone wasn't being careful. And this traffic worker was in a sealed-off lane. He should have been absolutely safe. But good morning to all our traffic workers listening, and I know there's a stack of you. And all we can do is keep broadcasting the message, please, drivers, if you are approaching an area that where there's work being done, obey the change of speed conditions. Please be careful. It's unbelievable how many traffic controllers ring the program concerned that this was going to happen, and it's happened. I'd like to hear from you. 133353. What are the biggest dangers? What happens? Explain to us so that we can explain to the rest of the nation what's involved when you are controlling traffic during roadworks in the middle of the night. Take us through it. How could this have happened? Well, it's happened, and you've been warning us on 133353. is the telephone number. The citizenship schmozzle has become such an obstacle to the operations of federal parliament. Malcolm Turnbull yesterday had to, in effect, threaten jail for further offences. MPs and senators, if the Prime Minister's plan is accepted, will have to make citizenship declarations on a par with disclosure of financial interests, which is a key weapon against corruption. It really looks ugly, folks. And by doing this, Mr. Turnbull has acknowledged some MPs and senators, even if it's just a few, are prepared to lie their way into Parliament. The Prime Minister said this is about transparency, it's about integrity. An offence would be a contempt of Parliament, which at the extreme could see an MP fined $5,000 or jailed up to 6 months. Look, neither is likely to happen, but that punishment is there. Now, if I asked all of you listening to us around Australia, do you really give a rat's ass about dual citizenship in the Parliament, I would tip most of you would say no. But what really, I think, irritates the electorate is that these politicians are making laws, they're passing legislation that they expect us to obey and follow. And yet, even though Section 44 of the Constitution may well be outdated, mind you, personally, I don't think it's a bad thing to, if you want to represent the Parliament, represent the people of Australia, you are loyal to one country only. That's just my opinion. And you can disagree with me if you like, and we can have that discussion. But the point is, it's in the Constitution. And you can't cherry pick what part of the Constitution you decide to abide by and what part you don't. It's all or nothing, folks. That's the way it is. So where are we at? More MPs are likely to go. 2 more weeks of the Parliament left. Interesting stuff. And the Prime Minister is threatening possibly jail to those people who aren't transparent. 133353 is the telephone number. Look, I was looking at the news yesterday about an idea that the Queensland opposition is proposing in the upcoming election. And it's got me very, very interested. And I wonder, should it be a national initiative? A new offence specifically relating to domestic violence would be created by Queensland's LNP, and steps would be taken to crack down on school absences in the state's north as the opposition turned its election focus to 2 areas of social policy. We'll talk about the education policy a bit later, because that's important. But what really interests me is the 5-point domestic violence plan that they're putting up. The Queensland opposition is proposing a domestic violence registry. Opposition spokeswoman for prevention of family and domestic violence is Ros Bates, who said the LNP has listened to domestic violence victims and their families and had planned in consultation and acted to develop a tough new domestic violence plan. Under the 5-point plan, they're going to introduce a new offence for domestic violence, similar to the amendments introduced into the British Parliament back in 2015. But the thing that gets me is the domestic violence registrar, or registry, where if you have a history of domestic violence, your history is there for all to see. Now, what do you make of this? I guess if a woman is interested in starting a relationship with a man, she could go to the registry and see his history. Would that be a good thing? What if, and this is just the snag in all of this, if you're a regular listener to The Night Shift, you'll have heard from men who are telling us that they have been lied about by ex-partners and drawn and hauled through the courts, had children taken away, and they're telling us that it's all based on lies, on a vindictive ex. Now, what if you're put on a domestic violence registry and it was all a lie? That's the thing. I'm sure that would only be a few, and a domestic violence registry, I think, in ideology, is a good idea. Would it save lives? I think it probably would. But what if the person on the directory had been lied about? 133353 is the telephone number. We'll have a talk about that. I think it's not a bad idea, so long as you're very careful that you get it right when you put somebody on it. The latest US shooting has sparked fresh debate over gun control, hasn't it? And a TV star has moved to shut down a popular line of argument against stricter laws. Andy Richter, he was the Conan O'Brien sidekick on his talk show, and he took to Twitter to debunk the claim often used by those who do not believe gun laws need to be tightened. He says Chicago has some of the strictest gun laws in the country, but has struggled to combat gun violence. It's a fact that many pro-gun activists say proves that increasing firearm legislation won't stop killers like Devin Kelly, who shot dead 26 people in that Texas church. Donald Trump has used the example more than once. The White House press secretary, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, was asked after last month's Las Vegas massacre, in which 58 people were shot dead, whether the president's views on gun control had changed. And she said, quote, "If you look to Chicago, where you had over 4,000 victims of gun-related crimes last year, they have the strictest gun laws in the country, and that hasn't helped." Donald Trump made the same point a year earlier in his final presidential debate with Hillary Clinton. "In Chicago, which has the toughest gun laws in the United States, probably you could say by far they have more gun violence than any other city," he said. "So we have the toughest laws and you have tremendous gun violence." But a recent report released by a third most popular city in the United States gives a good indication why. The state of Illinois, in which Chicago is situated, may have comparatively strict gun laws, but it's surrounded by states with very lax ones. And people will argue they allow illegal firearms to flow across the border. I don't know what the answer is. Have you had time to think about it? I'd like to know your thoughts. 133353 is the telephone number. We have talked over the last couple of days about Australia's STIs, the shocking rise in sexually transmitted diseases. An alarming 63% of gonorrhea in Australia has experts concerned. And a new report published by the Kirby Institute shows that there has been this 63% increase in gonorrhea over the last 5 years, 23,000 people diagnosed. Now, I know we've talked about it over the last couple of days, but there is some new opinion rising through all of this. Experts are weighing in on the contributing factors such as the rise in popularity and use of online dating apps. Tinder has previously told pedestrian.com that 15% of Australians are using the dating app regularly, which is approximately more than 3 million Australians. 15% of Australia is using Tinder. Online dating website RSVP claims that over 1,000 new people join that site every day, while eHarmony claims that millions of Australians have used the site to find compatible matches. But it's the opinion of a lot of my correspondents, a lot of my listeners and people who email me, talk about this on Facebook. It's a common opinion in Australia that Tinder, as opposed to RSVP and Harmony, is a website or a dating app specifically and almost exclusively for casual sex. Most people on RSVP and eHarmony say that they're there to find long-term relationships. Not so with Tinder, I get the feeling. Now, we'll talk about that. If you've ever been on any of these websites, can you let me know, are there predators out there? Are there people there who are only interested in having sex as often and as soon as possible? And could this have some effect on why there's been a 63% increase in gonorrhea here in Australia? Yes, dating apps, eh? And if that's the case, I mean, if people are having more sex with more people more often, surely we've all still heard of condoms, haven't we? 133353 is the number. Look, there's plenty of other stuff I want to talk about this morning. In fact, heaps of it. I hope we can get to it. I'd like to hear from you. What's on your mind? What's the burr under your saddle this morning? Give us a call. Have you got a story for me? Is there something happening in your hometown, in your city, that you need the rest of Australia to know about? Well, that's what we're here for. 133353, let's get started. You're listening, or for some bizarre reason, you've chosen to join the night shift on the Triple M network. And good morning to our affiliate stations. There's a stack of you, including Mix FM, 92.7 Mix FM on the Sunshine Coast. Good morning to 828 AM 4GC at Charters Towers. Nice to have you with us. And KOFM in Newcastle, 102.9. 133353, a lot to talk about. Just before I get to calls, there's a little bit of Facebook feedback. In other words, FBFB. Do you like that, Jess?
Please don't do that again.
Sorry. Some social media response to the shocking rise in Australia's STIs. Alexandra says, in the health industry, we explain it with a circular diagram, chain of infection. A dating app could fill in as one link only. I will say that where people live is a good indicator of which diseases to test for. Alexandra, if you're listening, can you call in and explain? I'd like to as a health worker, explain exactly what you're talking about. Are you suggesting that sexually transmitted diseases, or STIs, are more prevalent depending on where people live? Is it a socioeconomic thing, are you suggesting? It's a geographical thing, is it? I mean, it's a very interesting theory. I'd like to learn more. Give us a call. 133353. Gail says unprotected sex is obviously the reason. Condoms are expensive at over $10 a box. And I've never seen a dental dam for women, which is a latex or polyurethane sheet used between the mouth and the vagina during oral sex. Really? The things you learn here on the night shift. I haven't seen them in a chemist anywhere. Millennials are simply not practicing safe sex. What porn have you watched recently that uses safe sex? Imagine what kids are watching. Well, I said that, Gail. I think you see too many condoms used in pornography. 133353. Scott says, I know heaps of idiots that play with fire. They just don't care. Some social media response to the Queensland opposition proposing a domestic violence registry. Dan says, what about lying females that make up false allegations against innocent fathers to stop them from seeing their children? There should be a register for lying women making false claims that everyone can look up. Is that fair? The whole system is a joke and needs reform from the bottom to the top for both males and females. And Matt says, yes, if anyone has any doubt that this is needed, then they should get a hold of a police scanner for a day, a week, or however long you like, and they'll be horrified as to the amount of domestic violence incidents and breaches that occur in their neighbourhood. It would average around 80% or higher, and not one suburb or demographic would be immune to calls to the police. Alcohol and illicit drugs are the main cause of domestic violence. So many other questions need to be raised. It's high time we took a stand on all of this. Thank you, Matt. There's a stack of other feedback that I'll get to. And please feel free to keep adding to it on Facebook. The Facebook page is The Night Shift on Triple M. You can tweet us at MMM Night Shift, and email is nightshift@triplem.com.au. Let's get started. Let's talk to people. Dave, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good, Dave. Whereabouts are you?
I'm in Sydney, mate. A traffic controller in Sydney.
Aha! Uh-huh. And it's not a laughing matter, is it?
Not at all.
You won't believe how many calls we get from traffic controllers in the 11 months we've been doing this, from people like yourself begging us to broadcast a message for people to slow down and obey the changed traffic conditions. And here we have it on the Gold Coast last night. A man is dead.
I saw it on the news and I knew it was coming. And I'm surprised that there aren't more, to be honest.
Yep.
It's crazy. We the job site that I'm on at the moment, I'm on Smoker, I'm working now. The roads are pretty quiet. The speed limits, though, are always 20 k's an hour.
Yep.
Morning, noon and night. It's the signposted speed. We have taxi drivers. Taxi drivers and truck drivers are the two worst main offenders.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Truck drivers, especially on the freeways, We put 40k speed zones in place because we have fast lanes merging into slow lanes so that we can do tree clearing or grass cutting or surveying. And if you've got a truck doing 100 k's an hour that has to go from the fast lane to the slow lane, where cars are obviously doing, you know, sometimes 80 or 90 if they're on their learners, that's chaos right there. But the job site we're on now, this is the reason why it is very important for road users to obey our signage and our instructions. We're lifting 45, 50 ton of steel to make a bridge over the road.
Yes.
And there's plenty of safety mechanisms in place so that it doesn't fall, but God forbid it did. That would crush 10 cars.
Yeah.
And if you've got a car that blows through us on our stop sign, right underneath that, and that crushes and falls, the traffic controllers are liable.
Well, according to reports, and you tell me if this is how you understand it, this poor bloke on the Sunshine Coast, he was in a what would normally have been a fast lane, but it had been completely cordoned off. It should have been there should have been no traffic anywhere near him.
No, not at all.
So I don't know. There's an investigation underway, of course. I don't know if somebody fell asleep at the wheel or whether somebody was just ignoring the speed limit.
More than likely texting.
We have no idea. We have no idea.
Yeah. We see texting drivers all the time coming around corners. The job site that I'm on, they come around a corner texting. They don't look up once. And the same job site, because there's people from all over the world here, they're reversing around a corner on a one-way street, and people are driving towards them texting, and they crash. Every day I see one. Every single day there's an accident because they're not paying attention. They don't care or respect us because they look at us as lollipop men, not traffic controllers.
All right, look, all we can do is keep broadcasting the importance of all of this, and hopefully there won't be another fatality. But, you know, I've had so many of you guys rings. It's telling me that this was going to happen, and look what happened.
Yeah, it's incredible. And like I said, I'm surprised it hasn't happened more often.
Yeah.
But, it's crazy. Look, if anyone's listening, especially truck drivers, they're coming through at 100Ks when we've got it signposted to 40. Whether there's workers there or not, those signs that we put out, when the truck driver goes past at 100, he knocks those signs over. And he may not care about that because, you know, it's just a sign. But those signs are there to tell other road users what's going on. So if those signs have been knocked down because a truck driver's doing 100 instead of 40, then the other road users, they don't get to see those signs. There's no advance warning. They're not going to slow down. They're not going to expect the merged traffic. And that's how accidents like this also happen.
Yeah. You've put your case very, very eloquently, Dave. Thank you so much for your call.
No worries. Have a great night, guys.
And thanks for listening. So there you are. 133353. What are some things you've seen out there on the roads? How do we avoid this ever happening again? Give us a call right now. This is The Night Shift around Australia on the Triple M Network. 133353, Andrew, very good morning to you. Thanks for waiting.
Yeah, good morning, Luke, and all the hard-working TCs on the front line out there.
All the hard-working what?
TCs.
TCs. Traffic controllers.
Get with the program, yeah.
We have a lot of them listening, and a lot of them have been telling us that what happened last night was bound to happen sooner or later.
Certainly was. If that, I believe his name was Mick, the truck driver that said he came through the site at 80Ks.
Mick from Maryborough, yeah.
Yeah, he must have had the blinders on, Luke. 4 or 5Ks before that, roadworks, there's a big VMS sign, 2 metres square, saying there's roadworks ahead. And then the speed limit drops to 80Ks, up to 100 occasionally, but on average 80Ks. And then there was a 60, a prepare to stop, and a 40. Well, you know, there's plenty of warning. What he said was just not true, Luke, because I drove through that site about 12:05 last night, just before the incident. And, you know, we always look at the competition signage just to, you know, make sure they're up to speed, and I didn't see a problem with the signage.
Yeah, Mick was saying that he thought that the 40 ahead sign could have been about half a K earlier. That was in response to Dave, who was also ringing up about traffic control, who went through it last night. He thought that...
That's not regulation, Luke. The sign has to be in the tape of the 40K sign has to be right up where the workers are. So this guy said he'd been through the site four times. How come he's still speeding? You know, those are the guys that cause us a lot of mayhem and trouble. And they're the guys that we need to get through to. I don't know the circumstances. Nobody, they haven't released the information yet of what this guy that actually caused the fatality, what was going on. But, you know, that'll all come out in the wash later on. But, you know, the truck drivers themselves treat us as the enemy. We're not. We're out there trying to make the road safe for everybody. And, you know, it's a huge issue for us.
You just described the truck drivers as the enemy.
They treat us as the enemy.
No. Oh, okay.
No. Yeah, no, we're on their side. We're trying to make the road safe. But they, you know, you want to hear the comments on Channel 40. It's just ridiculous. You know, their attitude towards traffic control, it really stinks.
Tell us. Tell us now. I mean, they're all listening. They're all listening,
yeah,
Andrew.
I know. You know, you just bloody, you know, they say we are out there to annoy them deliberately. Like, we get out of bed and work all night just to get out, just to annoy the traffic, just to annoy the truck drivers, sorry. We've got better things to do with our time, Luke. You know, we're all out there just trying to make a living, and we're trying to make the road safe for everybody. And if they don't obey the speed limit, well, it was lucky it was just a car. If a big semi had come through that, it would have cleaned up the whole work gang.
Andrew, can you stay there? Don't go away.
Sure.
I've got another caller, a truckie, who wants to have his say. Chris, g'day.
Mate.
Hello, Chris. How are you?
Not bad, mate. As yourself.
Yeah, very good. I've got Andrew, who is a traffic controller, on the other line. You've heard what he's had to say. What's your story?
Mate, I do agree with Andrew there. There is a lot of drivers that don't slow down. I'm an interstate truck driver myself, so I do a lot of nighttime driving. My biggest concern with the roadworks is you come into these roadworks and they've got their big lights, and I understand they've got to have lights on at night time, but 9 times out of 10, they're actually shooting the drivers in the eyes, so it makes it real hard to see.
Andrew?
Yeah, okay, that's out of our control. That is we are there to make the site safe. We don't have control of those lights. They are there for the work gang, so they can see what they're doing. So they're well illuminated. Occasionally in a dark area, the TCs will have their own light generator, and they, you know, they have it in mind, trying not to dazzle the lights. But in certain circumstances, I can sympathise with the truck driver, because, you know, it makes our life unpleasant too with these bright lights. But we need them for safety. And
Is there a way of concentrating the light to where it should be and not in the eyes of the truck driver?
Yeah, we do try, but just on the odd occasion, it's in the too hard basket.
That needs to be addressed.
Well, you've got traffic coming both ways, you see, and it might be good for traffic one way and bad for traffic coming the other.
Yeah.
You know, it's a catch-22 situation. We try and do the right thing, but on certain occasions, it's not always, you know, we try our best, but then on some occasions, you can't have it good for traffic going both ways.
Chris?
No, I agree with him there. Okay, for instance, I'm Brisbane-based, and we've got a lot of roadworks on the Logan Motorway at the moment. And it would have been 2 weeks ago I pulled up and actually spoke to... I shouldn't have pulled up where I did, but I did, and just to let them know, and I got a really, really smart-ass remark about it, and pretty much told, keep going and don't worry about it.
Sorry, Andrew. Andrew, did you say something? Okay, Andrew's at work, Chris, and he's obviously on the radio there. So keep going, Chris.
But it's a two-way street, and Andrew was just saying that drivers have got to cooperate with the traffic control, and traffic control have also got to comply with the drivers, so it really comes down to a lot of cooperation between drivers and traffic control.
Would you agree with Andrew that a lot of truck drivers treat traffic controllers as the enemy?
Not so much the enemy. I've got a lot of friends that are traffic control people. Another big one is trying to get trucks to when they want the trucks to stop. When they turn their signs real quick, like, I'm mass managed and I'm always right up on my 65 ton. We can't stop these on a dime.
Mm.
yes, I know they've got a job to do, but they've also got to see it from our perspective. Yes, we're only a lot of us stick to the speed limits. We back down, but even at 40 k's an hour, it still takes us a good 60 metres to stop safely.
Yeah, I hear you. Andrew? Andrew's distracted. He's at work and he's obviously on the radio. I'll let him go. Chris, I thank you very much. Thanks for adding to the debate. We're going to make these roads safer at night. That's what we're here for.
No worries, mate.
Thanks for your input. Thanks, really mate. Appreciate it. Bye-bye. 133353 is the telephone number. You're listening to The Night Shift around Australia. Back to call shortly. Lots to talk about. If you would like to dip your toe in the conversation pond, why don't you have a crack? 133353. So here's a couple of our dilemmas going around this morning. I think it's a very good initiative, and it should be a national program. The Queensland election is coming up, and the LNP, the Liberal National Party, want to take steps to crack down on school absences, and they also are pledging a domestic violence crackdown. And proposing a domestic violence registry. A good idea. Will it save lives? I think it's great, so long as the people put on it deserve to be there and not there because someone's lied about them. We get so many calls through to the Night Shift from men who have had acrimonious split-ups from relationships dragged through the family courts for things that they hadn't done. But I think it's a very good idea if someone's looking at getting into a new relationship, they can go to the domestic violence registry and find out the sort of person that they're about to be hooked up with. What do you make of it? 133353, and how do we get kids to go to school? Charlie, an emailer, said in Scandinavian countries, in Sweden, they pay kids $200 a month to go to school. Do we have to resort to that? How do we... The truancy in far north Queensland is unbelievable. 240,000 unexplained or unauthorised student absences last year. I said to Rob, who rang up earlier, Rob was from Rockhampton and about to become a school teacher, a primary school teacher. I said, well, maybe you're going to look at making your classes more student-friendly, more exciting. He agrees. Anyway, 133353 is the telephone number. Sharon, g'day. Thanks for calling.
G'day, how are you doing?
Good, thank you, Sharon. Whereabouts are you?
At the moment now I'm in, I think, nearly in Mernda.
In where?
Mernda.
Spell it.
Mernda. It's M-E-R-N-D-A.
Mernda?
Mernda, yeah.
Where's that?
It's just past Epping Mill Park.
I can't hear you.
Just past Epping and Mill Park.
Epping in Sydney?
No, Melbourne.
Is it, okay, Epping in Melbourne. There's two Eppings.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
The reason I asked, Sharon, it's a national radio program. Not everyone knows where Mernda is.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, Mernda's in Melbourne.
Spell it again for me.
M-E-R-N-D-A.
N-D-A. Mernda. Okay.
Yeah.
I've never been there.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you want to talk about?
The dating site apps. I think they're pretty funny. I don't take them too seriously. I've met a couple of people on them. Some of them are pretty different, far-out people, but most of them are okay. Most of them, a lot of them just want to, you know, get into drugs and all of that sort of stuff too.
You're a professional. Are you a professional driver, Sharon?
No, I'm not.
You're in a car, are you?
I'm in my car at the moment, yeah.
What do you do?
I'm not. Oh, I usually work at the airport, traffic management. So, yeah. But at the moment, I'm workers' comp.
Oh, it's a very bad line. I couldn't hear that.
Sorry, at the moment, I'm on workers' comp.
Okay, look, I'll tell you what, Sharon. I'll put you back to Jess. Can you pull over and talk to me through the phone and not through the loudspeaker? Because it's a ratchet line and I'm losing patience with it. I want to hear what you have to say, though. Sue, hello.
Hello.
Hi, Sue. Yep.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about truancy, like you're saying how that gentleman said about paying kids to go to school.
Is that outrageous? Or do you reckon that's a reasonable sort of an idea?
Well, I reckon the money wouldn't end up going to the kids. I reckon the parents would only send the kids to school to get the money. So the kids, I find it that the kids aren't still going to get a decent education just because you're paying them.
Mm.
You're only going to get the numbers up. Like, I'm a parent. I've got a seven-year-old, and she's got special needs.
Mm.
Now, I've been fighting the education department for 3 years. We realised that when she started prep that she had these issues. Now, Education Queensland have only got a certain type of listing of certain disabilities for kids to actually get money to the school so that the kids can actually have special aid time.
Okay. Now, your child has special needs, and that's a completely different thing. And the last thing in the world you'd want is for your child to miss out in school, I'm tipping.
Well, this is it. But my point is that education money would be more well spent with Education Queensland to put more either teachers or teachers' aides in the classroom to help the children, because there's a lot. I'd like to know the actual amount of kids with special needs that aren't going to school.
Yeah, okay,
Because once they get lost in the system and they get behind, then they just feel like they're failures and they don't want to be there anymore.
Wow, yes, I see. Okay, so how do we go about getting kids to want to go to school?
Well, this is what I'm saying. If the kids are getting more support in the actual classroom, then they're not feeling as much a failure because they're getting the help that they need in the classroom to keep them on track and keep them up with their peers, and then they'll stay at school because they don't, you know, they're quite happy to go there because they're actually learning.
Okay, I'm getting calls and emails from people telling me that the problem in far north Queensland, a lot of it is Aboriginal communities where maybe culturally it's not the norm to go to school, or maybe the parents don't care if their kids go to school. I'm not singling out Aboriginals, but a lot of these high truancy hotspots are in Aboriginal communities. I mean, that's the fact of the matter, and it needs to be addressed. How do we encourage kids to go to school? I told you the story about my friend who taught at a school in Wilcannia, far western New South Wales. All she had to do was promise them that they were going to have baked beans on toast on the Friday. She had a full class.
Yeah, I can understand that. But, I mean, like, at the school that my child's at, we get breakfast. Well, the kids get breakfast over there 2 days a week. So that helps. So at least, you know, for some kids that do actually miss out on breakfast, they do get two feeds a week.
Yeah, I mean, but breakfast not just for one group of people. It has to be available for everyone. We need equality. We need equality. We can't divide. So we waste so much money. Governments waste so much of our money on stupid things, and I could list them here, but I'll be here until daybreak. How about a national initiative to have a free breakfast for every child that needs it at school, cooked at school? Get McDonald's to sponsor it. I don't care.
Yeah, that would work. But I still see that I don't know. I still find it's more to do with the side on the education side of it, that if kids aren't feeling like failures and they're actually learning something and they're keeping up with their peers, they're going to want to go to school. Because I know, like, with my child, she's done prep, she's done grade one, and she's repeated grade one and now still can't keep up with her peers. And due to that fact, she won't be in mainstream school next year. I will actually be bringing her home for home.
For homeschooling. What are her disabilities?
Well, she's got a chromosomal disorder.
A chromosomal disorder. What's that?
It's to do with her DNA.
Yeah, and how is it a disability? What describe it.
It's easiest way of describing it is she's a seven-year-old with Alzheimer's disease.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, one day she's as good as gold, and then, like, one morning she can wake up and you'll say, you know, you want breakfast? And she'll say, yes, please. And I'll say, well, what would you like, toast or cereal? And she'll tell you. And she says toast. I'll say, well, go and put the toast, you know, go put the bread in the toaster, and I'll come over and butter it and put your spread on it and you can eat it. And she'll be fine. She can go and do it. The next day, same routine, and she'll say, oh, I'll have toast. And I'll say, well, go and put the bread in the toaster, and she'll go, how do I do that?
Mm. Yeah,
it's just gone. And this is how she's doing the same at school.
Mm.
Some days she's switched on.
I'm with you.
And then the next, you know, other days that she's not. But because of her disability, because it's a chromosomal disorder, Education Queensland won't accept it, even though we've got, you know, reports from pediatricians and specialists and psychologists, and she's had every testing done that you could come across, because there's only her and her father that have actually got this chromosomal disorder. They're the only two in the world.
Really? Only two in the world?
Yeah. They're actually on the UK site now with this chromosomal disorder.
Her and her father?
And so it's that rare. So, but even with reports from the school teachers, from the principal, I can't knock the school. It's Education Queensland is just not supporting them.
All right. Listen, I thank you for that, Sue. I've got a million people lined up wanting to have their say. Thank you for having your say. Maybe someone from the LNP can add that to their campaign. More support for kids with special needs in schools. And that's, look, it shouldn't just be a Queensland campaign. It should be a national campaign. But I'll keep going. Sue, thank you for your call.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. Sharon, good morning.
Morning.
Oh, right, Sharon. This is Sharon from Mernda.
That's right.
Okay, and a much better line. Okay, go ahead.
Okay. I go on the dating sites, like there's Scout. I go on. Years ago, I used to go on a site called Tagged.
And Tagged.
That was, yeah. Tagged.
Okay, now just sit tight. The reason we're talking about this, folks, is we're addressing these unbelievable figures that tell us that the rise in STIs in Australia has gone up alarmingly, 63%. 63%. We're talking about gonorrhea. I know we've talked about it the last couple of days, but now experts have come out and they're saying that online dating websites like RSVP, eHarmony, in particular Tinder was mentioned, because of these dating websites, more Australians are having more sex with more strangers, more often than ever. And this could be a reason in the rise of sexually transmitted diseases. Okay, you're up to speed. Keep going, Sharon.
Yeah, 100%. I'd agree. When you do meet a bloke, even though, like, I tell them straight out, like, if you're only looking to meet and you think you're going to get in or anything, it's not going to happen. I'd rather go to a pub and pick a person up. At least that way I haven't had to look at their dick pics first or anything
Hang on. You don't have to look at their dick pic. Now, I said this the other night.
Yeah.
How is it that the term dick pic has found its way into our vernacular? It'll be in the bloody dictionary next thing we know. It will. It will. Where are we going?
Well, because it's not, they're not doing it or saying it straight to a person's face, there's no shame.
Yeah.
They've got no shame. They just go for it.
They can hide.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah.
Yeah, they're keyboard warriors. They're very brave because they're anonymous. You wouldn't say in a pub or a club to a girl what you would say on Tinder, would you?
No, oh hell no. I reckon if half the people spoke to me the way they try and speak to me online, I'd be in jail.
Yeah, and if a guy went up to you in a club and saw sexy Sharon sitting over there and wanted to get to know her, if he came over and flashed his old fella at you, in other words, a live dick pic, he'd be arrested and put away.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he?
Yeah. Oh, blood oath he would. And so there has to be some form of screening, but there's no shame. There's no shame. They just go for it.
My son's mate, he Tinder, and he was saying, Jake was telling me his mate is on Tinder for one reason, and that's to have sex, casual sex with as many women as possible.
Yeah.
And he says DTF.
DTF.
Down to.
Oh.
That's what it stands for. I know. That'll be in the dictionary next, too. Next to dick pic. So it's in his profile. Sorry, Jessica, what are you saying?
Yeah, a lot of people just have it in their profile, so no need to converse. Straight up, you know what you're getting.
Here I am. Here's a picture of me down to F. And he says he has an amazing strike rate.
True.
He gets a lot of abuse. He gets a lot of knockbacks. But he's not lonely very often.
Yeah, look, I suppose if they get 1 out of 10, it's a good day.
I think he said he gets about 1 out of 10.
Oh, true.
I think he said that.
Oh, see, and there's so many married people on there too. Like, I don't get why have a hamburger if you've got a steak at home. That's my view on that side of it.
Why have a hamburger if you've got a steak at home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't, if I've got a partner, I can't see the point in sampling everything else.
Oh, well, look, yeah, different strokes for different blokes. Sharon, have you ever heard Tammy, our sex worker, talk about this?
No.
Oh, well, she comes on from time to time. She was on last Friday. She's a sex worker, and a large number of her clients are married men. They're honest about it. They're honest about it. And it's because Tammy will do things that their wives won't.
But that's right. But they're going to a professional for it.
Yeah.
Like, that's what...
But Tammy will not ever, ever, ever have sexual intercourse without using a condom.
No, that's right.
So how come these women on Tinder are allowing men to have sex with them without using a condom? Why is the... why are the blokes having sex without condoms? I mean, you know...
And the blokes think that they're just immune to anything.
Well, they're not. And that's why the cases of gonorrhea have gone up 63% in 3 years.
Yeah, oh, true. Yuck.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, that line's breaking up, Sharon. It's disappearing, so I'll let you disappear. Thank you for your contribution, though, and ring back any time, hopefully in a better area. 133353 is the telephone number. G'day, folks. You've reached the night shift around Australia and around the world on the Triple M network. How is our Facebook following going? Did we get 300 since midnight? Look, it's okay to be ambitious, Jess. It's okay to be ambitious. We're just short of 30,000 followers on our Facebook. So why don't you jump on board Facebook, The Night Shift on Triple M, and have a look and see. That story concerning the reality behind e-cigarettes, Jess will put that on the Night Shift Facebook page and have a read of it for yourself and tell me what you think. I mean, it's just frightening to think that millions of people are turning to e-cigarettes and vaping, thinking that they're doing the right thing, and they might be doing exactly the opposite. Sam is online. G'day, Sam.
Good morning, Luke.
How are you? I'm good, Sam.
I'm great.
Where are you?
I'm on Nellie Beach. I called you last night.
Sam, you won't believe this.
Yeah?
The Minister for War and Finance, Nikki.
Yep.
Or sometimes she's known as the Leader of the Opposition. She is in Airlie Beach now.
Oh. Wait. Yeah, I've seen a lot of signs actually around about it. They're promoting a lot of it actually up here.
She is in Airlie Beach right now.
Yep.
And she's staying with our ex-next door neighbour who is a tuk-tuk driver.
Oh, yeah, you told me about that last night.
But not a motorbike. It's a push bike thing.
Yeah, the little tuk-tuk with the carriage behind.
That's the one. That's the one. Anyway, she says it's the most beautiful place she's ever seen.
Oh, it is. Every morning you wake up, you look out at the ocean. I'm right up in one of the apartments up behind Airlie, so every morning I wake up, I just can look out over the ocean. Well, not every morning, but probably every sunset.
And you live there full time?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I grew up here, actually.
Oh, you lucky bastard. So you're one of those people who can say, I live on holidays.
Maybe. And everything about here is all tourism and everything, so if you get a job, it's definitely in tourism, that's for sure.
Okay, now tell the rest of the world and the rest of Australia where Airlie Beach is, because I can tell you that Nikki had to catch a plane to Proserpine?
Correct, yep.
And then what, she have got on a bus?
Yep, you would have had to do that. We've only got the two airports here. We've got the one on Hamilton Island.
Yeah.
And we got the one at Proserpine.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
So Airlie Beach is about 130 kilometres north of Mackay.
Yes.
Probably about an hour and a half north of Mackay and about 3 hours south of Townsville.
Oh, God. It's right on the coast.
Yes, right on the coast.
Is that what you call the Whitsundays?
Yep, that's it.
Yep. And you say you live in an apartment. How much to live at Airlie Beach? How much for a three-bedroom apartment?
Okay, so we've actually got a bit of a rent problem at the moment up here. I got really lucky with cheap rent. But thanks to the cyclone, we had a lot of tradies come into town to fix up the place.
Yeah.
And then rent prices skyrocketed.
Yeah.
They were fitting about, I'd say, about six or seven tradies in the one little house.
Yeah.
They'd have to share it, but they got rent went from 400 a week to 800 a week.
Yeah.
Over the course of a month.
Supply and demand. That's always going to be the way.
Exactly. Yeah.
How much to buy a 3-bedroom apartment?
Three-bedroom apartment. It's actually kind of cheap to buy the apartments, but to rent, it's really expensive.
Yeah, because our next-door neighbour, Julie,
yep.
She sold her house next door to us, and yep. She got way more than she thought. We were delighted with the price she got. We were absolutely delighted because her house is much smaller than ours, and she got, but she got a very good price, and she is debt-free. And she's shown us photos of where she's bought at Airlie Beach. I couldn't believe what she got for the money. She made a very good decision. So that's where she's going to live the rest of her life, I think.
Oh, this is an amazing place to retire, really. Mm. It really is. It's there's a lot of relaxing things going up here. Airlie Beach is a very, very laid-back town. So I found a lot of, because growing up here, friends and family and things, I've just seen them go retire over time and things like that.
Yeah, but the thing is, our next-door neighbour's daughter moved up there before her. She went to visit a friend who lived up there, loved it so much, she said, "Mum, I'm staying." She got a job on day one at a cafe.
Yep. We've actually got really high turnover employment here because backpackers stay for probably a month, maybe more, and they need money, so they stop in, work at bars or cafes for a certain amount of time, and then they go on.
Airlie Beach, folks, eh? I should send an invoice to the Airlie Beach Tourism Commission. hey, what station do you listen to us on?
92.3 Triple M, Mackay and the Whit Sundays.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's 92.3 and there's also 98.7.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you're Mackay Whit Sundays, Triple M, 92.3. Gotcha.
That's it.
What did you want to talk about, Sam?
Okay, so I just wanted, like, well, the vape thing was the come up after while I was on the phone. That's really interesting, actually.
The what thing?
Because the vaping with the e-cigs.
Yeah, I am amazed at this story. Do you have access to the internet? Can you join us on Facebook?
I've joined you on Facebook already tonight.
Okay, well, very soon Jess will put this story on there. Have a read of it. It's a recent study out of Japan.
Yeah.
Hang on a second.
They're ones you want to believe about it too, yeah.
Yeah, it's on Facebook, Lukey.
She's put it there now, okay?
Cool.
I couldn't believe it because everybody I know that's on e-cigarettes or vaping have done it because they want to get off tobacco because they think it's healthier.
Well, they've been told, like, a lot of people have been sold e-cigs and things saying it's got less nicotine, it's not as bad, it's got different flavours, it doesn't taste like cigarette, which I don't know anyone enjoys the taste of. So it's just one of those things that I've just been noticing it over time. Because I'm a bouncer and things like that, I'll be walking, we kick people out of non-smoking areas with e-cigs, and they get very angry at us.
Because they say, "I'm not smoking."
Exactly, but when you go, when they leave, it's like a smoke machine went off in the room.
Really?
It's just, they puff and puff and puff and puff, and then it's like, come on, man, you can't do that in just like in this room here, in the pokey room or things like that. And it doesn't smell nice. Like, it might smell nice going in and stuff, but when it comes out, you find smell of strawberries, but then it smells like cigarette after that to me.
Does it?
I don't know. I guess it depends on the liquid that you vaporize.
Yeah. Well, anyway, have a good read of this article.
I will. Yeah.
I found it on a funny website because I look at all sorts of websites to source my stories for the program.
And Reddit and stuff.
And I also have lots of friends in the media and we pass on stories. If someone sees something interesting, they'll pass it on to me. And this was one of those.
Okay. Yeah. No. Well. Oh, sorry. You go.
No. I'm listening to you. You rang me now, Sam. You wanted to talk about domestic violence. The Liberal National Party in Queensland want to use this as part of their election campaign. They want a domestic violence registry so that if someone's being convicted of domestic violence, you can look it up. There they are, I guess, and you can decide whether or not you want to pursue a relationship with that person. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah. Okay. So my idea on this is I think it should be more of a blanket thing with just straight up violent acts. If they've like robbed a store, burgled and things like that, or they've shown violence in town, I don't know. It's something that, like, of course, privacy and things like that. But being a bouncer, we've got these new ScanTech machines that came out around July when all the new laws came in. And it'd be really helpful to us if we scanned in an ID and it goes, oh, this person's been violent at bar, this person's violent here, this person's violent there. I mean, it's a bit of information to get because it's a bit of privacy. I can understand having your privacy, but it would help us stop letting violent patrons in bars and things like that too.
Wow. You've taken this sideways beautifully, Sam, and it's a very good idea, folks. What do you say? Sam is suggesting, and you're in the security business.
Yeah.
Instead of there being a domestic violence registry, why not just a violent perpetrator registry? Where if you are convicted of a violent crime, whether it be domestic violence or whatever, there be a registry that people can access.
Yeah.
Wow.
In a sense, yeah, but like you'd feel for people that say they had maybe one too many drinks and then they punched someone out in the bar or something like that, and it was just a passion of, like, you've got to really go to each situation. It's not like a case of this person punched such and such, so now they're banned from everywhere or they know that. It's more like you've got crimes of passion type deal where it's in the moment, someone hit someone, it can be a case. Like tonight, I was in a club and I got punched in the mouth because I was kicking a guy out.
Really?
Yeah. He didn't hit me hard. I've got a nice big beard that sort of softened the blow. But I kicked him out. He was being a bit rude and then put my hand on him and he just took a swing at my jaw.
You see people at their best and at their worst, because when people are intoxicated, their personalities often explode one way or the other.
I've seen it so many times.
I would hate your job. I would hate to be surrounded by drunken dribblers, you know, and you're trying to talk sense. You're trying to keep the peace. You have other patron safety in your hands, and you've got to deal with dickheads. Yep. You know, I would hate that. I would hate to be a taxi driver on a Saturday or Friday night.
Yes, yeah, or an Uber driver or whatever.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, it's I don't know what it is, but it's a case of with the case that everything is. I don't know if it's I don't know the facts, but is violence increasing in case, like violent crimes increasing over statistics in areas?
Well, I mean, you're in the game, mate. You tell me. In your opinion, is it?
The thing is, I'm finding more and more people getting straight up violent, but there'll be the one or two bad ones. But
I mean, there you are. You live in God's country, Sam, at Airlie Beach, where people are supposed to be relaxed and laid back. Yeah. And, you know, and are you seeing an increase in violent behaviour?
Okay, so recently, over the last couple of months, footy teams break up, right? They break up and come here for holidays. So we've had teams from Victoria, Perth even, come over for a weekend in Airlie Beach to break up. They won their grand final in Perth for AFL or something, then they come to Airlie Beach. We've had teams come in where they're just giant footy blokes and they're absolutely looking for a fight. And it's absolutely terrifying time of year because we're constantly watching ourselves with these guys wanting to come celebrate, but they get too drunk and ruin it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you're in the game. As I say, you see people at their best and at their worst. You'd be the best judge. But having said that, I'll repeat myself. You live in paradise. You live in holiday country where people should be relaxed and laid back, and you're still seeing violent behaviour. Listen, Sam, I've got to keep moving. Your suggestion that we not just have a domestic violence registry, but an overall violent registry, I reckon it will strike a chord. Let's see what the rest of Australia thinks. Thanks for your call, Sam.
Well, good. Thank you very much, Luke.
If you see this mad woman, she's got short blonde hair. She's skinny as a rake. She's fit, And if you see her peddling a tuk-tuk, say hello to her for me.
Will do. Will do.
Her name's Julie, and we miss her. We wish she still lived next door, yeah.
Okay. Can I just say one more thing? Am I able to?
Yeah.
I was just going to say something about the Tinder stuff, just a real quick one. I got my first match in 9 months last night, so it doesn't work for everyone.
Well, you've been swiping right for 9 months, and you got your first reply?
Yeah. No, first match, not even a first message or reply.
Lukey, so Tinder works, if you swipe right on someone, you'll only match and be able to chat if they've also swiped right on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I open... Jess, should I open a Tinder account just for experiment?
No.
While Nikki's away?
No. What do you think, Sam?
Just for an experiment. Just for an experiment. I can't be broadcasting... I can't be broadcasting this information without dealing with it firsthand. It's all about research.
You can barely reply to texts. You don't know how Facebook works, and you're going to get on Tinder?
Yeah.
Mate, you're kidding yourself.
Sam, I'm being a fool to myself and a burden to others. I'll let you go.
All good. Thank you, Luke.
This is the Night Shift. The Night Shift. On the Triple M Network.
Is it, Jess, is it cheating if you keep your Tinder account open even when you found a partner?
Well, look, it's not a good thing. It depends. Most people have to have the chat. Are you still on dating sites? Especially if they've met on a dating site. And that's when it becomes official, when you've deleted the app.
But in the name of research, I've got till Saturday. What day is it today? It's Wednesday. Shall I join Tinder? You can do it for me. I don't know how to do it. You can do it for me, and we'll just see what happens. Shall we do that? Shall we do it? Shall we?
I think Australia and me are together when we say no.
I knew you'd say that.